you have to be fully focused at every moment in this race, and it definitely suits guys like Pidcock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he is the prototype rider for this race. I mean, just imagine, I don't know, let's say X amount of turns. I mean, every single corner, he takes it a few tenths of a second faster than anybody else. You know, it's just those little things. I mean, the way he moves through the bunch, and he is the ideal combination of this classics guy, but he can go uphill. So, you know, it's difficult to find a rider who's better suited for this race. And so...
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Move Podcast, talking about the Amstel Gold Race. God, what a race. I love this race. I loved all the times I did it. I was so disappointed to never win it. It was one that I don't know, Johan and I can talk just about our experiences there, but I always wanted to win this race. We probably talk about this every year when we talk about Amstel, just the Dutch people. I loved them. It was a perfect course for me. I started coming into form at the time, and I got second twice. Totally sucked. But enough
both
of that.
Very close, by the way.
Both were close.
Very close. I watched them last night.
Yeah, I don't watch those. Thank you for watching. Joined by, of course, just across the street there, JB Hager over at the WeDo headquarters. Johan, again, just not disappointing with the background. Incredible. And George down in the cellar. It was one of those weekends, was it?
No, I was actually just got home late last night, so I wasn't in the cellar.
And I've been relegated, as if y'all are watching the show, you see I've been relegated to the garage. This is my gym out here in the garage. We have an entire house full of friends, their kids, my kids, sleepovers. And I'm like, where am I going to do this podcast? And this is the only place I could come up with. I'm literally sitting on a stool in the garage.
Nice. I like all you got going on there. You got some bikes, you got some new gym equipment we've seen you've been using quite a lot. What else you got in that garage? Any cars in there? Anything like a normal person has?
There's currently no cars. There's bikes, but I can put two cars in here, which of course you want to do when it's 100 degrees outside. Got it. As you, George, you've seen all my garages. It's this one's no exception. Got it carpeted, right? Yep. So I've got that kind of cool indoor outdoor carpet. But yeah, you know, I got the bikes hanging on the walls. I got this part is the gym, and then cars are, what you can't see off screen, are over there. And it's nice and quiet. for you members who were watching the pre-show, my missus just came ripping in after missing yoga, so she couldn't get out of the neighborhood because there's a kite festival. Now look, if you guys get bored ever, just look up where's the next or nearest kite festival. What? So she couldn't get out. Anyways.
Let's I have a question about your gym, though, before we move on. Because I did a big ride yesterday and met a few of our listeners. And a couple of them asked about you and the because they always ask, are you riding? Is Lance riding? I haven't seen him. I hear he's back in Austin. And I've like, he's into the gym. And they're like, yeah, we noticed that. Like, what's going on with Lance and his gym obsession? Would you call it that?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's an obsession, but I'm bought into this.
Or focus. Recent
it's
focus.
It's definitely a focus. I'm bought into this theory that I'm 52 years old. And the theory being that as you get older, any sort of strength work, resistance work is just better for you. I've ridden enough miles in my life. I do still ride. But I think that as I get into my 50s and for the rest of my life, I think the strength and resistance stuff is going to be what ultimately, helps me bend over and pick up grandkids when I'm 80 or whenever. So I don't know. That's my theory, or that's a theory. Then it's one I'm trusting and I'm sticking with it, but I still love
my. My theory was the 5 pounds over in Tuscany last year, about 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, transformation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still a very sore memory, but it was good. You know, look like you could lose five. Just imagine if you lost five. Let's do a little bit of business. And I know, George, you've given me shit right now. You're going to love this. Look who's back, baby. Manscaped, the one man on the show. I mean, look at the man. Look at his face. Right, if anybody on this show, nobody on this show should be talking about Manscaped other than you. Somebody has hair everywhere. And I mean, they've told us, listen, we have to see George shave down, do something like that.
Pay-per-view.
Special.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans. Join my OnlyFans account. And-
okay. All right. Now that is something. Manscaped plus George plus OnlyFans equals, well, you know what it should equal? Let's hope it equals a ton of good, because I know we kind of have fun with Manscaped, but here's the thing. It isn't just the best product out there for all your manscaping needs, but check this out. Did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? I'm certainly one of those, as everybody knows. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over there at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS. That's for Testicular Cancer Society. Manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use the promo code WEDO for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/TCS. And yes, soon to come, George's OnlyFans account, where he will shave down. Also today brought to you by Tushy. This is another one. All of these things just make so much sense. Now, we give George grief about the Manscaper. I have a personal story. Obviously, I had a personal story with Manscaped about testicular cancer. That's true. I got a personal story with Tushy. Right. I got a wife. A lot of us have wives. Almost everybody on this show. Johan's had a few wives.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Anyways, you know, my wife's always been like, I want one of those Japanese $5,000 toilets in every room. And I said, I'm not doing that. I grew up a poor kid in Plano. Don't need a $5,000 toilet. But I found a hack. I love finding hacks in everything in life. And I found this product years ago on the internet, and I bought it and I installed it myself, and it was the Tushy. It does everything the same. It heats your ass. It squirts water. It's got a remote control, and I installed it. Think about that, guys. I cannot change a flat tire. I installed this $5,000 toilet competitor, the Tushy, all by myself. Pretty amazing. So stop wiping until you bleed. Join the 3 million butts who have already made the switch to Tushy. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off your entire order when you use the code WEDO at checkout. That's 10% off your entire order at hellotushy.com. Use the promo code WEDO. All right, let's finally talk about the bike race. Johan, you brought up an interesting stat in the pre-show. I think this would surprise people because we've heard so much of Tom Pidcock, right? He's been this certainly for Ineos, for Great Britain Cycling. He's been the great hope for them for so many years. He's been an Olympic champion. He's won, you know, cyclocross races. He's only won 5 bike races on the road. That surprised me. I knew it wasn't a lot, but 5 is less than what I thought.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised to hear that number. He is obviously a multi-discipline talent, you know, as you said, Olympic champion mountain bike, world champion mountain bike, world champion cyclocross. He's been even world champion time trial, I guess, in the juniors. Won Paris-Roubaix twice, juniors and amateurs, under 23. So, but for some reason, he hasn't won that much. I mean, one could say maybe he should focus solely on the road. He would probably win more races. I kind of agree with that. I think there's a big potential that Tom Pidcock is not taking advantage of, but that's a different discussion. I mean, I think we should applaud him today for winning the Amstel Gold race. He was 3rd and 2nd already in this race. He would state, and a lot of people, that this is actually the second time he wins this. He said that himself.
I think we all agree with that. We all saw the photo finish. We saw the actual photo. Hard to argue with the photo. I don't know how they.
Yeah.
To refresh everyone's memory, it was 2021 Pidcock and Wout Van Aert photo finish that was mind boggling and probably the closest finish ever in bike racing.
Yeah.
And they gave it to Van Aert.
And he said in his post-race interview, he said, well, I was going to say nice to win a second time this race, but I'm going to stay away from controversy. And he said it. Great for him to finally win. You know, you could see clearly this as soon as this breakaway of 10 riders got established, he was the favorite. He took his responsibility in different moments when that group kind of broke up. And I think, you know, a part of being a great rider, he's also a winner. You know, this is a guy, like, if you take him to the finish, he's often winning it.
He figures it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Not only that, but today was the first time in several weeks where we were able to have a super exciting finale. We didn't know what was going to happen until the very end. And we are all on this show very massive fans of Vanderpool. But let's be frank, the last two monuments were not that much fun to watch at the end. We knew it was going to happen with 50K to go, over an hour to go. And today, just all the way to the finish, it was a very traditional selection where 12 guys went with 35 some K to go. They're very strong guys. Vanderpool's at the back. We don't know if he's, you know, playing possum or if he's just not having great legs. So it was just really exciting. I know our chat leading up to the finish was nobody knew what was going to happen. We all still, even Spencer thought to the end that Vanderpool was going to be able to bridge that gap. But that's the type of racing that we love to see. And I think it's setting up for a really exciting Fletch Wallonne and Liège Bastogne Liège, which we're obviously going to cover as well.
I mean, let's face it. he obviously he's Dutch. This is their classic, but it's hard. It's hard to do what he did in Flanders and Roubaix from an emotional standpoint. It's obviously physically, we all agree it's physically, everybody knows it's physically hard, but from an emotional standpoint, and you put a lot on the line, and there's the high of winning. I mean, the way he came back and did it again at Roubaix, I mean, that just takes it out of you. The fact that this race lands the week after, I mean, look, I love the race. I said that at the top of the show. It's an amazing race, but it is not the Tour of Flanders and Paris-Roubaix. I mean,
one thing for me, it shows finally the human side of Vanderpool, because we know Tour of Flanders is one of the hardest races in the world, but Paris-Roubaix is the race where you cause the most muscle damage, because those cobblestones, they just destroy every part of your body. So I think we're seeing the human side of Vanderpool, where perhaps he wasn't able, not perhaps, he did not recover as well from Roubaix as he did from Flanders. And he paid for it today. And it's just, I mean, that's just, I know I've done many times in Roubaix where I was flying and where Johan said, you know what, stay another week, let's do Amstel, help Lance out. It's just not the same. It's hard to recover from a tough Roubaix.
And it's a different focus too. You know, I mean, it's a completely, I think the fact that we saw such a race like until the finish where we didn't know, it's because Amstel Gold Race falls in between, you know, you have the Flemish cobblestones and then you have the Ardennes. This is a race that is acceptable to a lot of riders, accessible to a lot of riders. You know, like, you don't need to be a specialist in one of those to be able to be in the front. So we saw some guys in there. I mean, Mauri van Sevenant, Madouas, this young French rider, Paul Lapera, who is, you know, comes out of nowhere, won three races already, won a stage in the Basque Country a few weeks ago. And tactics come into place also a lot more than in other races because it is so unpredictable.
I just want to go back to Pidcock just real quick. Going back to Pidcock and his win. Look, we've all done the race. It is a very, very nervous bike race, like positioning almost more than obviously the two races we just referenced. Positioning is key. If you're not there, your race is over. But this race has so many tight turns, followed by quick, sharp climbs. If you have to be in position, and if you can handle your bike and you're comfortable in the peloton and that's just easier for you, it makes the race five times easier. You are just conserving energy. Like, I'm here, I don't have to fight. Like, I'm going to, you know where to be. It's not stressful to be there. He's, I don't know, I think it'd be impossible to name somebody else in this peloton that can handle a bike better than Tom Pidcock. So he already, you know, goes into this race going, all right, this race is going to be 10% easier for me than anybody else. And he has, he does have a great team, but just being him and being with the guy with those skills, it's just a lot easier.
You bring up something interesting, and they talked about it in the commentary I was watching, is how the irony that this is the most popular place in the world to ride a bike, and they have the most infrastructure. But when you're bringing a world tour race through town, all of that infrastructure actually gets in the way and can be really challenging.
Yeah. I mean, that we always call this race has thousands of turns, roundabouts, road furniture in the middle of the road. That's another thing that makes it super technical, is like you can come around a corner and all of a sudden you have half the road that you thought you did, and you're going straight into a sidewalk, which we saw a couple of times in the race today. So you have to be fully focused at every moment in this race. And it definitely suits guys like Pidcock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he is the prototype rider for this race. I mean, just imagine, I don't know, let's say X amount of turns. I mean, every single corner, he takes it a few tenths of a second faster than anybody else. You know, it's just those little things. I mean, the way he moves through the bunch, and he is the ideal combination of this classics guy, but he can go uphill. So, you know, it's difficult to find a rider who is better suited for this race. And so, I mean, listen, third, second, and first speaks for itself, you know?
You took the words out of my mouth, because he doesn't think he got second. Right. So just imagine, right? He even he said it. He said, I've won this race before.
Yeah.
But okay. But if you go look at the official results, he didn't win. So now you got a guy who hasn't won the race on paper. And you know, obviously he's riding great. How motivated do you think he would be? So you've got all these things we talked about, his technical prowess, his form. And oh, by the way, forget what the photos said. You got second. Just move along. Like that would inspire somebody.
I would add this to the something that fuels Pidcock. All the conversation all year about Vanderpool, Van Aert, Vingegaard, Tadej. Like he's so close. Like it's got to be that chip on his shoulder. Like, hey, I'm as good as these guys on a good day.
He is not in that conversation as much. I think he's a great bike rider, but that's a different conversation.
Not only that, but we haven't even really mentioned.
He doesn't think so. He does not think so. He thinks he's in there.
Okay. Well, for sure. Today showed it, but we haven't.
Well, God bless him.
Not only Pidcock, but we haven't even really spoken about Ineos in the World Cup races this year. So the whole team had a chip on their shoulder. Obviously, they were riding for Pidcock today. Kwiatkowski was looking great, and I think they're going to see their momentum swing change now for this final week of the classics.
Yeah, it's only like the whole season. It's only their second win in a World Tour race for a team like Ineos. I mean, that's. But you know, more credit to Pidcock. Let's not forget. You know, like I think about 10 days ago, just at the start of the Tour of the Basque Country, he crashed in the warm up of a time trial, had to abandon, so couldn't start. Then showed up unannounced, like the day before in Paris-Roubaix. Did a great race. I think he got up.
He got called up at the last minute.
I don't know about that. But anyway, he did Paris-Roubaix also. So, you know, I mean, there's not that many guys that did Paris-Roubaix. We're up there in Paris-Roubaix who were up there now in the final of this race. I mean, even Van der Poel said that his legs were not super. So, but Ineos needed this win. This means a lot. And, you know, you could feel in the interview of Pidcock after the race what a victory like this means, you know, and the stress the team like this is under. He says, you know, well, now for Flèche Wallonne and Liège-Bastogne-Liège, you know, at least we can race now. The pressure's off. We've won this race. You know, we can race at ease, like not anymore under the stress of having to win. It means a lot.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Only you would know this. All right. So Visma Lisa bike is just like the 20th iteration of this team, going back Super Confex, Buckler,
Quantum Holland.
Yeah, that was going way back. That's going way, way back.
Word Perfect,
Novell, Rabobank, etc. But if I think back to my time, right, going back to Buckler, going back to WordPerfect Nobel, early days of Robbo. I mean, this was a race. Talking about that particular, those particular iterations of this organization, this was a race. And I, unfortunately, we said this earlier, I got second twice and I lost both times to somebody from one of those iterations. But anyways, this is a race they absolutely had to win. Without a doubt. Forget stages in the tour, forget anything. You have to win the AMSTEL Gold Race. Is that still part of the conversation for a team? Since this team dominates, obviously, everything.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I agree. I don't know, but I would have to imagine.
I don't think so. Well, no, first of all, you know, it's a Dutch team, but Visma is not a Dutch sponsor, right? It's a Scandinavian sponsor. So, you know, like Rabobank, you could not have a more Dutch team than Rabobank. That was their world championships. We all know. We've lived it. So I think that's different now. Of course, it's still a very important race, but it's not the most important race anymore for them. I mean, and on top of that, they have won so many already that I think it's a different situation now.
You know, my favorite thing, it's just reminded me this. You guys will remember this is fucking amazing, right? So these guys, like everybody in the sport, you're dying to get sponsors, and it's hard to get a title sponsor, right? So the Novell or WordPerfect or whoever goes away, and they get Rabobank. They're like, wow, big Dutch bank, Rabobank. It's a global bank. And then they get down to Spain for their first race.
I know what you're going to say.
and the Spanish people were like, oh, no. You can't wear that jersey. No, you can't wear that jersey down here. Like, you can. It's just not a good idea. And I'm like, well why? Well, anyways, in Spanish, Rabo means, what does it mean? Like the tail, it's slang for dick.
Exactly.
So these Spanish people are like, oh, there's Dick Bank. Like they legitimately freaked out. Like, are you sure you shouldn't have a special jersey for Spain? Like, you can't ride around with Dick Bank as your title sponsor.
I mean, I was on Rabobank the first year when they started, and I came from a Spanish team, from Once. So I know the story. I mean, I know this story. But my sas, I remember talking to Indurain. You know, I don't remember. I think it was at the end of '95, and we were training, and we met each other in Calpe somewhere, and I was still on Once, so it was in. But I already had the Colnago from Rabobank, and he said, "Well, why are you riding?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to this new team, Rabobank," and he said, "Eh? El Banco del Rabo."
the bank of dick. I mean, you just can't make it. I hate to say things like that, but these are all true stories. Yeah. Like, actually, I don't really hate saying it, but that was even Indurain. He has no sense of humor, and he's like,
yeah, but he thought it was fun.
Uncle Rabo, the bank of the dick. That seems strange. Should you?
Yeah, but no, I mean, to come back to the Amstel, I mean, that was the world championships, you know, of that team. And listen, I mean, they still today, yeah, you know, hats off to them, you know, because they're losing their leader, Wout van Aert. They you know, and they still have somebody on the podium today. It shows the depth of this team also, you know, to have somebody on the podium without your best riders being there.
I agree. They're going to be proud of today's finish, and it was good to see Mark Hershey perhaps reaching his level of the past. I mean, that was a solid 4-man breakaway. I love seeing Ben Savimont. How, like, that dude must have died 1,000 deaths in today's race. Kept coming back, and some people perhaps might have criticized his lead out there at the finish, but that was his only chance to get top four.
I know,
he would have been 10th if he hadn't done that. So it worked out perfectly for a guy like Pidcock, but for me, I thought it was an amazing race that he did.
Yeah, his dad was Lantern Rouge in the Tour de France at least once or maybe twice when he was racing on Lotto. So yeah, he's doing better than his dad.
Let's keep talking. I want to talk about Mark Hershey when we get come back from the commercial break, but and a bunch of other stuff. JB, I know you've got some readers' questions and stuff too. We'll get to all that. But before we do, today's show brought to you by AG1. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel totally focused, energized, nourished. And by the way, I'm not great about the veggies and the fruits and all the things you're supposed to be good at. This I'd said earlier in the show, I love those hacks. Well, this is the hack, right? That's because each serving of AG1 delivers a daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's all about taking control of your health. If there's one product that I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. Special offer for our listeners. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2. And 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/themove. Again, that's drinkag1.com/themove. Also today brought to you by Helix Sleep, the top rated mattress from both GQ Magazine and Wired Magazine. I think they have over 10,000 five-star reviews. I've been on the Helix mattress for years now. It's very simple. You go on and you take a 2-minute sleep quiz. You talk about the things, you talk about the way you sleep, and they make you a fully customized mattress delivered right to your doorstep. Comes in this little thing. I mean, it literally looks like a set of golf clubs showed up. You bust open this box and this thing just comes out and it's your mattress and you sleep like a king. By the way, every mattress comes with a 15-year manufacturer's warranty and the same 100-night trial as the rest of the Helix. That's with Helix Elite. But 100-night trial. Think about that, right? Get to night 99. You're like, I don't know. Send it back. I was wrong. They have 12,000 five-star reviews. And they also have mattresses for the little ones. Helix Sleep is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/themove. That's helixsleep.com/themove. Last one of the day brought to you by Mando. It doesn't just cover up over odor after the fact with like heavy fragrances. And I know you have a personal story when it comes to this, George. You said you were traveling all day yesterday and I think it's a little weird. You're wearing the same shirt today that you were wearing yesterday, but you were rocking the Mando.
Yes. And
I don't know. You can even show us. Give a little sniff test. How's it go?
Well, you know, I love to
go like that. Is everything still okay there?
I'm always supporting our brand. So yes, I traveled all the way home from Arizona yesterday. Wore this shirt for my 4-hour flight back home to the East Coast. And you know what? I wanted to have the same shirt on for the show today, and doesn't smell. I had my Mando on the whole day. So I'm good.
See, here's why, because it stops odor at the source by blocking the bacteria on your skin from eating your sweat, which is the actual cause of BO. We are learning a lot, right? We learned just a minute ago how you say, in this context, what rabo means in Spanish. You guys learned that, right? And now, did you know that what causes BO? Well, now you do, right? That means Mando is clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. I mean, my friends, we have a living, breathing example in George Hincappy, because he's worn that shirt for at least 72 hours and he swears to God that it still smells fine. Is that right, G?
I don't know about 72 hours, but a day, let's say a day.
I know, but it says 72. Well, then wear it another day. We'll do it. Okay. Keep wearing it.
I'll keep it on. I'll keep it on for 2 more days.
All right. Keep it on for 2 more days and then take it off for your OnlyFans account. So here's special offer for our listeners. You get the Mando starter pack. It's perfect for you guys. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes. And free shipping. Luckily, we also have a discount code. All you got to do is go over to shopmando.com. That's shopmando, M-A-N-D-O, shopmando.com. Use the code WEDO. And the discount code gets to you what equates to 40% off your starter pack. Shopmando.com. All right. Just real quick on Hershey, because Johan, you and I have talked offline about him a little bit. It's contract year. Contract's up. He was good today. I don't know if the team takes him to the tour, but he's going to, from now on out, the rest of the season, this kid's going to be good. He's one of those guys. I don't love it. I don't love guys like that. but he's going to be strong the rest of the year. My theory.
I think so. I think so too.
Yep.
When you say guys like that, you mean you're just pulling it together because you're the contract situation and
look, I mean, we all know these guys, right? It guys get, it's like clockwork. If you got a 3-year deal, you know, or somebody has a good season, right? They're new on the scene. Somebody comes along and offers them a new 3-year deal. They leave, you know, they go to a different team and they disappear for 2 years. You're like, well, what happened to that guy? And then all of a sudden in the third year, well, here they come because they know the contract's up. I mean, guys, how many times have dozens and dozens of times. I think if you get a 3-year contract, it doesn't matter how many years you're paid to do a job the whole time, not when the contract is coming to an end.
It does make a difference in the motivation, I think, in certain riders. And then, you know, I don't know. Apparently, he also had some health problems in his first year at UAE. But I think we're seeing the real potential of Mark Hirschi. I mean, we saw what he was able to do a few years ago in the tour when he won 2 stages, almost 3, I think. And then for some reason, he kind of went on a lower level. But he is a strong rider, and he also has this. To me, he's one of those guys who has this race instinct, you know, like he's a real racer. Like he sees when it happens and knows when to be there. So another rider that I think that a race like Amstel Gold is an ideal course for him.
Mm, he's good on the bike.
A little trivia for you guys. I'm going to throw one at you.
Good.
Who has the most wins in Amstel Gold of all time? It's 5. I'll give you that.
Oof.
Because I have a feeling you guys will guess who was second, who had 4 wins.
I know it, but I'm gonna wait.
Give these guys a chance.
The Eddie Merckx or no?
No, Merckx had 2 wins.
Lance,
Jan Ross.
Of course. Boom. Oh, I'm impressed because nice. This was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Era. Again, look. I mean, Jan Ross was the when we had a little bit of fun with it, but the team that is now. Visma Lisa bike goes all the way back to 40 years ago for you lifelong fans of cycling, you'll remember Buckler and Super Confex. I mean, all these guys, Jelle Nydam, Van Hooijdonk, Eric van der Aarden, all of these guys, Frans Maassen. Yeah. I mean, these guys are Dutch legends. That was Jan. And right. And, and so, as I said, like they had to win one race. It was this race that, I went a little bit out on a lemon, guessed Jan Ross, but I mean, it was his team and he's Dutch and they had to win the race.
I saw a nice story about that. I mean, I'm still, you're not going to like it. I'm still going to bring it up. 99 Amstel Gold race. You were away with Michael Boogert Michael gave an interview, about this, I think last week. And he said, Jan Ross was in the team car next to Theo de Rooij. And he said, Ross was yelling on the radio. He said, if you pull one more time with Armstrong, I'm pulling your head off after the race.
No.
Hey, by the way, Jan Ross, 10 Tour de France stage wins, world champion in 79.
World champion in Valkenburg, where the Amstel Gold race.
2 times Ronde van Vlaanderen, Milan-San Remo, Gent-Wevelgem, Paris-Roubaix.
Yeah.
And more. Yeah, so,
he's Hall of Famer. I liked Jan Ross. I mean,
back in the days, they called it the Amstel Gold Ross, not the Amstel Gold race.
Oh, there you go. He was no bullshit. Jan Ross called it the way it was.
Exactly.
And you knew exactly where you stood with him. I never raced, obviously never raced for him, but I like, you see this guy around, you're like, man, this motherfucker is straight shooter.
Yeah, I had them as my boss the 2 years I was on Rabobank, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Was the guy just said it. Yeah.
So then who's our pick for Wednesday? Since we got to see today, we're going to see similar guys on Wednesday. Obviously, a completely different race, shorter. All comes down to the last climb. And maybe is Pogacar coming on Wednesday?
I don't know if he's racing. Yeah. He's racing Liège, but I don't know if he's racing. But I'm going to say Benoit Cosnefroy.
He's riding
Whoa.
I'm gonna go with Hirschi.
Okay.
Yep.
He's been up there in that race before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not.
How about you pick Dylan Tuns?
No.
Okay.
Not picking Dylan Tuns. It's Masters weekend, right? It's Sunday. It's the final round of the Masters. My head is focused on, look.
Kite Fest. I thought it was all the Kite Fest you wanted to go to.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to fucking Kite Fest. Well, Mama Bear, when she came in, I was like, oh, did I do something? I was like, shit, I'm in trouble. I mean, she left, right, to go get her down dog on and all this, you know, this gratitude and namaste shit they do. And boy, when she came up, couldn't get to that stuff. Wow.
Not so nice.
It was like she came from a Metallica concert. Oh, God, she's, and I'm not shitting you not. She's pulling up again. This is terrible. I might have to get off the show. No, but she's right here.
Oh, check God. Her temperature on that, on the traffic. I want to hear that.
Oh boy. Let's see if we can get her on. How's the gratitude feeling over there? Honey, they want you to come on the show. Cause, I was just talking about you. we're on the air. I was just telling them about how you left going out to get namaste and down dog and stuff and gratitude and all this shit that they talk about at those things. And the way you came back, they think I'm making it up. No, they legit. Here she comes. Hey. See, look.
Okay, got bagels and stuff.
She doesn't look very namaste to me.
No yoga. All right. I thought she was the teacher.
Him when he's done.
I'm gonna go play golf. All right, I want to bring up something that's a loose end from last week's show, and we have Johan on this week, and he probably is more well versed on this. But there was a lot of dialogue on our comments about Matthew Vanderpool and Alpecin and a bit of that history, which we weren't real well versed on last week. Ruli Fahler wrote in and said there was no team before Vanderpool. The Roodhoeft brothers, am I saying that correctly?
Roodhoeft
created the team around him. They first started with cyclocross, then expanded into the type of racing that Vanderpool wanted to do. Only later they developed into a full-blown road racing team. So basically they recognized very early that they had an incredible diamond. And they did everything to make him happy and keep him. Of course, the big teams wanted him, but the ultimate freedom was basically what was too important to him. Does that sound accurate, Johan?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. They started with a small size. I mean, it's incredible what these two guys have started and what it has become. And they're still there, the only two guys who are in charge. So hats off to them to build something like that. I mean, it's an amazing team, of course, you know, with a guy like Vanderpool. Makes things a bit easier, but this team is not just Van der Poel. You know, they have a lot of other good riders. You know, they have Jasper Philipsen. They have a bunch of riders who win races. So, it started as a really small team, and the fact that Van der Poel is, you know, his brother was there also until he retired. I think it's true that he stays there, first of all, because of the great relationship he has with one of the team managers. That's the first and foremost.
And I was going to say, hats off to him. I mean, imagine the offers he gets in the off season.
Exactly. Yes. But also, you know, let's not forget, you know, he is very well paid there too. Just signed a new 5-year deal with the team and a 10-year deal with Canyon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's what hurt.
How much on the team deal?
I'm going to take a guess that his base salary would be 4 million.
That's the greatest deal in cycling right now. But think about it. There are other people that make, or you got to think about the people that make 2, 5, or 3.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a smoking it. Again, you're guessing, but that would be the best deal in the Peloton right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And over 5 years.
Okay. You
know, so.
Plus everybody, these other guys,
Canyon, so I don't know what that is, but that's how they
supplement the deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Canyon's loving this.
And I mean, what's better rider than Van der Poel for a bike brand, right? I mean, he does cyclocross, he does mountain bike, he wins everything on the road. I mean, Luckily, they don't make any track bikes. Otherwise, he would do the velodrome too.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Good. We got to clear that up a little bit, and then we'll be getting back together. You'll have the move again midweek, Flesh Wallone, and then we have Tour of Alps coverage coming in next weekend, Liège the following weekend. It's going to be busy.
Yep. We'll be there,
guys. All right, everybody. Are we good? We good?
Yeah. Good.
All right, everybody.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in.